Much for tuning in to today's show. Hope you're having a great day or evening wherever you're listening to this. Today we have a little bit of a different show for you where I welcome Dan Shapiro. And Dan and I talk about his memoir, The Thin Ledge. And just to give you a little background on what this is about, in his book, he shares the reality of living through his wife's mental and physical decline caused by a devastating illness. And Dan goes into that illness a little bit. So Dan was a successful attorney in his early 40s when his wife, Susan, suffered a brain bleed and a diagnosis that her future was uncertain. And of course, they were stunned by this. They had three young children, and the couple made the most of the few years that followed before a massive second hemorrhage changed everything. And physically, Susan was badly compromised in her ability to speak, see, and walk. And mentally, she spiraled into depression and experienced a drastic personality change. And in his book, Dan talks about coping, and often unsuccessfully, as he is the first to admit, with the wreckage left in the wake of an illness that destroys a loved one. And Dan addresses the questions that people living through tragedies like this may never mention, but always ask, you know, things like, should I leave this marriage? You know, the moral issues of having this person who you love and care about and have three kids with, but basically become someone new and eventually incapacitated. And it's certainly a situation that I wouldn't wish on anyone, but the reality is life throws us curveballs, and we have very difficult situations that arise. And I had Dan on because I think there's a lot of value in understanding that you are not alone if you're listening to this and you are going through a really rough time. Maybe you're a caregiver for your partner, or even if it's a parent and not your partner, it creates a lot of stress individually and in a relationship, obviously. And Dan shares his story. And I think a big thing is to be kind to yourself and to not be hard on yourself. Dan took care of his wife for 15 years while raising three kids and being a partner at a law firm. So it's certainly situations out there like that that are extremely difficult. And I think there's a lot of value in hearing someone talk about it and knowing that you are not alone. So as always, thank you guys for tuning in. Hope you enjoy today's show. Hi, Dan. Thanks so much for joining me on the show today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Dan, I have not read your book, but I read an excerpt and the general idea, and I thought it is a super powerful story to be able to share with our listeners. So I thought we could start by having you tell us what motivated you to write the book and what it's about.
Sure. Well, let me give you a bit of the background factually, sort of what the story was, and that will tell you what it's about, I think. And the why is, that's a complicated question and a little bit of a complicated answer, but I'll try to present it in a way that is useful. So when my then girlfriend, eventually my wife, she is now deceased. When we met, we were 19 years old. We were on campus in college, and we dated all through college. And then I went to law school. We dated then and got married before my third year of law school. Proceeded on to have a family. We had three children. I was working on my career. My wife, Susan, was going to grad school at night. We were building a life, building a family. And then at 40, Susan was diagnosed with a minor brain hemorrhage that revealed something called a cavernous angioma in her brain, which is a malformation of veins that shouldn't be there. And unfortunately, sometimes those veins will bleed. And if a cavernous angioma occurs elsewhere in your body, it's not really a very big deal. They happen all the time. But if it occurs in your brain, particularly the very middle of your brain, which is where Susan had this happen, there isn't much they can do about it. It's not in a place that can be surgically reached. And so she had this minor brain hemorrhage. And then 2 years later, unfortunately, she had quite a severe brain hemorrhage that left her severely impaired in all sorts of ways. It affected virtually all the functions of the brain, including personality, what neurologists refer to as executive function, as well as her sight, her ability to speak, her ability to get around. So she went from being who she was to me for the 20 plus years that we had been together at that point, to someone who was really struggling and was vastly changed. I wrote the book to get to your second, the second part of your question. I wrote the book because I didn't find very much as I was going through the experience of being Susan's caretaker and raising our children and running my career. And by the way, that went on for the next 15 years for me. And then after about 15 years, Susan and I separated. And a few years later, Susan passed away. As I was going through all of that, I didn't find very much to read or to listen to or to speak to, even by way of finding a person who had had a similar experience. It's, you know, unusual, it's brutal, it's very difficult. And I thought I wanted to write it down, partly because as a lawyer, I've always been a writer, but a different kind of writer. So writing comes sort of naturally to me as a way of expressing myself and my thoughts. And it also, I thought, would make a record that other people could look to try to understand the dimensions of this kind of human experience. And the way I wrote it was really to be brutally honest. I mean, it's a very tough accounting of what happened. And I'm sort of unsparing in recounting the detail of it, my own experiences, some of it doesn't reflect very well on me necessarily. This is not me as anything other than what I think is an honest accounting of the way I, as a human being, experienced and responded to everything that was going on.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the details of how you navigated that together with Susan. And you used the word brutal a couple times. And obviously, when you're with someone building a life together and something traumatic like this happens, it's certainly a unique situation and what happened with you guys, but not unique to the human experience. So I think there's a lot of value in dissecting this. And maybe we could start with just how your life changed personally, and then how you were able to navigate that in the relationship with this traumatic change, and then eventually, you know, becoming her caregiver. So what was the first big realization, and maybe there was a big talk between you two, and maybe you can run us through that and how you dealt with it?
Well, I think the first, as you're asking the questions, memories are popping up. I mean, not just what I wrote, but just in my own mind, I'm recalling. I think the first experience that comes to mind is being in the hospital when Susan was, you know, I rushed her there when she was having the second hemorrhage. We're in Chicago, which is where we've lived, where I'm from, where Susan is from. And I took her to Northwestern Hospital, where her neurosurgeon was based. And I remember, I'm not a big crier. I'm not particularly an emotive person. I think, you know, to some extent, I'm sort of a little bit of a cliche of the way boys were taught to deal with their emotions, which is sort of not. But I remember as she was being diagnosed and she was in a CAT scan and they let me stand in the room with her, or maybe it was an MRI, I don't remember. And I was just crying. I mean, I just was devastated by what had happened. I don't think I understood what had happened. None of us did, because, you know, it had to play out over a long period of time. But I certainly knew that she was in big trouble, and that was devastating. I mean, that was a shocking, devastating thing. And I think no matter how it turned out afterwards, that first experience was itself probably experienced more broadly, because I think that's relatively more common. But when you ask, you know, how did you experience this? That's the first thing that comes to mind. I don't think one ever gets over that kind of shock. And then over time, she was in the hospital and in intensive care for 5 months. And, you know, we were learning about what the impact was on her brain, on her health, what was going to happen next. All those were difficult realities to absorb. And then over years, learning about what Susan was able to do, what she wasn't able to do, the change in personality that comes when something happens in your brain sometimes, the kind of frontal lobe injury that people can sometimes suffer is fundamentally shocking in itself, because you're sitting after the fact, you're sitting looking at the human being that you knew before, but that human being in a very fundamental way is altered. It's not the same person. The stuff that makes us who we are, you know, the spirit and the sort of the internal parts of our soul and our personality, it's all in your brain. And when your brain is damaged, you can lose some of that and have some of it be altered. And that certainly happened to Susan. So all of that was the experience. And it was, even as I reflect on it now, years later, it's upsetting. I mean, it was upsetting then, it's upsetting now.
Before we continue on, we're going to take a short break to tell you about our sponsors. After a decade of hosting this podcast and talking to hundreds of experts, we know that money is one of the biggest stressors in relationships. Now, while worrying about money and anxiously awaiting payday doesn't help, Earnin actually does, by putting the money you earn in your hands today. Our sponsor, Earnin, is an app that gives you access to your pay-as-you-work up to $100 a day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an additional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Many couples end up fighting about finances, especially when surprise costs arise. Earnin allows you to seamlessly deal with the unexpected trip to the vet or that splurge on date night without the added stress, letting you both focus on what really matters. Earnin is helping millions of Americans feel self-sufficient and to worry and fight less about money. All of this without debt traps, mandatory fees, or credit checks. Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in relationship advice under podcast when you sign up. It really helps the show. That's relationship advice under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Women's health, especially PMS and perimenopause, has been one of those chronically neglected areas when it comes to research and solutions. Thankfully, we have today's sponsor, Happy Mammoth. Our sponsor, Happy Mammoth, saw that there were no effective nature-inspired solutions to these issues. So they made one. Estro Control. Relationship Advice listeners can now get 15% off your entire order on happymammoth.com with our promo code IDO at checkout. Estro Control contains science-backed herbal extracts that help support hormonal health. The way Estro Control eases PMS is pretty interesting. The ingredients help support the liver, and that is where all of our hormones get processed, especially estrogen. So when estrogen isn't processed well in the liver, some women may start having PMS symptoms, like spots on the skin, cravings, and feeling low all of a sudden. Estro Control was created to help women feel like themselves throughout the whole month. Estro Control is made especially for women who are premenopausal. It's really great for perimenopause when hormones start to fluctuate and PMS becomes really rough. I personally struggle from PMS firsthand, from super discomfort to just not feeling like myself. PMS has put me through the ringer time and time again, and I know it's not just me. I've seen my relationship suffer in those times when PMS takes over. Estro Control works to relieve many of those consuming PMS symptoms, helping us regain control. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with a promo code IDO at checkout. That's happymammoth, MAMMOTH.com, and use the promo code IDO for 15% off your first order.
How did you make space for yourself and your mental health during this time? I know in the book you talk about how important it is, especially when experiencing this kind of thing. And obviously you're saying you're devastated, and through the context of a relationship, how did you think about, you know, things like your marriage vows? And obviously, you know, she's deteriorating, becoming this new person. Can you share a little bit about that?
Sure. I think part of the reason that the book maybe has value to people is I don't think I did all of that particularly well. And I think I eventually got to a place that is good. But the process, and you use the word navigating is a perfect word. Navigating all of that was really, you're not taught how to do it. And so, you know, I made a lot of mistakes and I got some things wrong and I got a lot of things right, but for sure not everything. And sort of learning all of that, learning how to understand what my limits were, which is not something, it sounds like sort of an easy thing to know, but I found it to be a really elusive idea, you know, to know when you were out of gas, you had no more energy, to know when your own performance as a, you know, as a partner in a law firm, I had to perform at a pretty high level, and to know when I was not able to do that. And it was not something that I knew intuitively. I think mental health is a tricky thing, and mine for sure suffered. I think figuring out what your wedding vows mean, also incredibly tricky, just sort of freighted with moral judgments that one makes about, you know, your own behavior is something that is tricky and difficult. I don't think there is a prescription for that. I don't think there is a way to just solve for that. I think you have to live and sort of do the very best you can, try to be a reflective and kind person. And what I found is when you have these extraordinary circumstances over a period of the 15 years post hemorrhage that we were together, I had lots of ups and downs, and I went way outside of the boundaries of what I ever would have thought was proper behavior in a marriage, the marriage that I wanted to have. I try to be really honest about that in the book so that people who have some kind of experience like this understand that there is a humanity to this that I think, you know, one has to take into account. People aren't, I am not perfect. I'm not even close to it. Sometimes I'm not even good. And, you know, accounting for that, allowing for it, really important, I think. And knowing that other people have had the experience, also really important.
Certainly having compassion for yourself when going through difficult times is really important. And do you mind sharing some of the specific things? You said you got some things right, you got some things wrong. Can you give us some specifics?
Sure. I think that it's super personal kinds of things, but that's why I wrote the book, and that's why I'm here talking to you. I think that there was a sense of frustration sometimes, anger, misdirected at Susan, sometimes at myself. If I had it to do over again, which I would not want to do, but if I were to be able to reach back and fine-tune my own behavior now, I would certainly try to be more patient. Try to be, you know, I mentioned the word anger a moment ago, try to be less angry, try to channel emotions in a way that would be more constructive. I think all those things, I'm not sure I did any of that all that well, or all that poorly. I mean, I think I did okay, but not always. The one place that I think was really a saving grace for me was my kids. I mean, my children were small. If somebody had told me that I was going to have principal responsibility for raising them from that young age, I think that would not have been what I anticipated in my life. But I must say, it's sort of the best part of everything. I mean, my kids sort of saved me unwittingly. They were tiny little kids, but they did. And I think that counts too. And knowing that sort of is part of the reporting on all of this that I try to do for the reader.
What would you tell someone who's struggling, they're experiencing anger? I know you said, yeah, you feel like maybe sometimes you did it good, sometimes not so good, but someone that's listening and maybe they're a caregiver, maybe they're in a difficult situation trying to support their partner, ways in which that resentment's maybe building up, they're getting angry, to channel that, have more patience and a better perspective on things.
Yeah. Well, I think what I would say, without giving advice to anybody, because, you know, that's not my thing, and that's not what I'm qualified to do. I can just tell you what I did, and you know, what I would say is, if you're able to step away emotionally, you know, psychologically, if you're able to step away from the moment and give yourself a break. Give yourself a break in terms of the judgments that you're making, the you know, whether how you're assessing your own sort of performance, for lack of a better word. Give yourself a break about all of it. I think it's way too hard to get right all the time, even when you're really trying. And I think that over the course of years, you can't be trying all the time. I think you get exhausted sometimes. And sometimes, you know, you don't have the oomph for it. And you know, it's complicated. And let it be complicated. Don't fight it all the time. Just understand that it's challenging and it's going to get the better of you from time to time. and let it go. Let that happen. And then circle back and you know, pull yourself together and then be there for the rest of it. But to, I guess what I would say is suspend your one's tendency to judge. In this case, judge yourself and suspend that. You know, stop that. Don't do that. It's not always helpful.
You mentioned raising your young kids kind of on your own. How did you navigate that?
I have to say that was so easy. I really have to say I totally enjoyed that. I think it's a place to direct, you know, they're, these little kids are innocent. And all they just need to be loved. And frankly, if there were a lot of times when I needed that too. I needed to feel that from them, and I needed to direct that to them. The place that I had with my spouse had been disrupted emotionally, and so where you know your kids are a place for to give warmth and to get warmth, and that's turned out to be really a wonderful thing.
You had 15 years of basically being your wife's caregiver, and that alone is just a huge task. And like you said, having a career, having raising kids, and it's like you call it the long goodbye, and then moving on from that and growing from that. How were you able to do that?
Just to put in that amount of time, is that what you're asking?
Yeah, just looking back on it, and then for that perspective of, you know, the things you did quote unquote right and the things you wish you could have done better, or just moving on too and taking that experience and growing from it. Obviously it's very difficult. So maybe how you were feeling during the long goodbye, and then the sense of sadness when your wife passes away and moving on from that.
Yeah. Well, it's not the life experience that I had prepared for sure. I think that there is a very deep sadness that one experiences, that I experienced over the course of that 15 years, many, many times, a sort of despair. And I think what happens is that I sort of realized that I couldn't stay there, that it was just too unhappy, that it was too miserable. And, you know, that staying there was, what was the point of that? I just couldn't. And so climbing out of that hole, you know, there are a lot of ways to give a try at that. I tried professional help. I tried antidepressants. I never found that those particularly worked for me, but I'm sure they do work for other people. I found that just putting one foot in front of the other and being very deliberate about that, and just going out and getting through the next day has its own sort of restorative power. But to be honest with you, I think during those 15 years, it was a lot of just surviving. It was, there wasn't all that much celebration of anything. It was mostly just getting through it. And then realizing, and I do spend some time in the book explaining this, and it's hard to do just, you know, this way in conversation, but I got to the point where I found religion to be helpful in a sort of a weird way. I'm not a religious person, but I did look to religion to sort of help me think about how one manages life and your own in a situation that's really adverse. And I found that religion does, my religion, I'm sure all of them, does speak to that. And I found that very helpful because it's an institutional perspective on on these difficult questions. And I found that to be more trustworthy and reliable than what I could get from friends or family, who might give me advice or say something to me about what to do next in my life that, for a variety of reasons, wasn't as reliable. I found an institutional perspective on the morality of how to manage my life very useful. And I found that in my religion. And that helped me sort of choose next steps.
Can you share some maybe specific examples, or I'm not asking you to quote verbatim any passages, but anything that really resonated with you, an idea or a perspective that gave you a lot of hope and feeling of power in those situations?
Yeah. Keep in mind that I'm not talking about, having a rough period of a marriage. I mean, we were together for 21 years before any of this happened. So we certainly had times where, like every married couple, I'm sure, you know, things were better sometimes and worse other times. I'm not talking about that. The same tools may or may not be useful in those circumstances, but that's not what I'm speaking about. What I'm speaking about is I felt like I had essentially lost the person that was my partner, and that many years were going by, and I was feeling like my life was getting to a point where I really wasn't able to manage very well anymore. I wasn't getting any joy out of anything. It was not clear to me how I was going to sort of get through or find the next place to smile. And so life became a big question mark, not whether to live, but just how was I going to enjoy anything? And I spoke to, I'm Jewish, and I spoke to a rabbi who I have a lot of regard for. And in the Jewish religion, the sort of central idea is you always choose for life. And I found that to be very helpful, because I think what we discussed, this rabbi and I discussed, was, well, what do you do to choose for life if your life is starting to be sacrificed to this whole circumstance? And the answer is, do what you need to do in order to find happiness. And that, that was very helpful to me. It allowed me to step outside of the relationship that I had with the person who was, everything else being equal, still my wife, and recover some of the life and vibrancy that I needed in order to not really be sacrificed to this illness.
Before we continue on, we're going to take a short break to tell you about our sponsors. When you work full-time, have kids, and run a podcast, it's hard to make time for a multiple-step skincare protocol. That's why I'm excited to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best. Let me repeat it. They make it easy. No complicated routine, just simple, scientifically validated solutions. If you're looking for skincare products that are simple and effective, for a limited time, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your first OneSkin purchase when using the code IDO when you check out at oneskin.co. I've been using OneSkin's body lotion for about a month, and I've already seen noticeable improvements with small wrinkles and textures on my skin, specifically on the back of my neck and the back of my hands, two places where I get a lot of sun. Plus, my skin looks and feels healthier all around. It's all thanks to OneSkin's revolutionary OS-01 peptide, the first ingredient proven to deactivate aging cells responsible for lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin. Unlike traditional skincare products that only mask symptoms, OneSkin pioneered a new approach integrating tissue engineering and cutting-edge science to enhance skin biology for lasting resilience against aging. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using the code IDO at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with the code IDO. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support your show and tell them we sent you. Hey, Love Tribe, I have just a few questions for you. I want to know why you are here listening to the podcast. Are you here because you want to stop bickering with your partner and you want to feel truly heard? Or are you looking for ways to reignite your sex life? Or do you want to feel more emotionally connected with your partner? Or do you just long for those fun, giggly moments of connection that you used to have at the beginning of your relationship? Well, over the last decade of hosting this podcast, those were the main reasons people tuned into the show. And we get it. We've been there. So we created our course, Spark My Relationship, because we wanted to put those tools to unlocking a fulfilling relationship right in your hands. We're offering $100 off our course, Spark My Relationship, which is a self-paced course designed to help you create more passion, improve your communication, and build a stronger, more intimate connection with your partner and have an amazing time doing it. We've collaborated with over 15 therapists and psychologists to bring you the strategies that marriage therapists teach their clients. So to unlock this special offer of our course, our listeners can visit sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock to get $100 off. That's sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock.
And so you found a lot of comfort in that. And it seems like to anyone really struggling in a difficult situation, I think a big thing and why I wanted to have you on is to understand that you're not alone and that this isn't a completely unique human experience. And you mentioned it earlier, to not be so hard on yourself and so judgmental. And then what you're saying, what resonated with you kind of is to, at a certain point, maybe to choose yourself. And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it seems like, yeah, it's like you want to be there for your partner, but there's a certain, and every circumstance is different. Obviously, there's times where someone gets sick and it's 6 months in, you're like, ciao, that might not be the perspective we want to take. But 15 years and being a caregiver and just having compassion towards yourself during that time. And then at a certain point, you know, having those hard discussions with your partner, if they're able to, but with yourself and saying, you know, I have to choose my life in this moment.
I don't think you're putting words into my mouth at all. I think you have it exactly right. I think what you just said is a very good summary of the tension that that this kind of circumstance creates. And I'm not in the advice giving business. I'm just telling my story for what value it may have. But if somebody is married to someone with a substance abuse problem, for example, and that is destroying the person with the substance abuse problem, that may be an illness. I mean, I assume it is an illness. Fortunately, I didn't have that experience. But if that happens, I don't think anybody really has a big question as to whether the healthy spouse ought to go down with the ship, you know, be drawn into the illness, or whether the healthy spouse ought to make choices to preserve and enjoy his or her own life. I think, you know, that's sort of well settled morality at this point in our society. I'm not sure this is any different than that. It's, you know, the facts are a little bit different, but it's, you know, if you lose your partner and your spouse effectively, even if they're still there, but they're not through nobody's fault. They're not your partner for your life, and you can't get the things that you need. What do you do about that? And at some point, I made the judgment, you know, after a long time. And I mean, honestly, the issue that I have in my life was 15 years too long, because I can't get any of those years back. I don't know. It just is. It is what it turned out to be. I don't regret any of it. But I do have questions about how to manage, and to use your word, navigate all of it well. And my hope is that the book gives you enough of my experience so that you can at least kick ideas around, and maybe have, you know, something to bounce up against and say, well, this provokes me to think about this a certain way or that way, and this guy did it this way. I don't think I'd like to do it that way. I think something else makes sense. And you know, I hope it has some value that way. And even for other people, maybe it's interesting just as a moral inquiry about what being a human being and a partner with a spouse, what it means.
Well, Dan, thank you so much for sharing your story. And yeah, I think that is really where the value is. You mentioned the 15 years you can't get back. Well, someone listening might be in year four right now, or someone listening might not be in it, but in a couple years they are. And there's a lot of pressure, you know, there's a lot of pressure that we put on ourselves, that society tells us how we should act. And in the end, there's different ways to navigate it, to continue with that term. And, you know, you can't go back and change what happened, but you can say to someone listening, hey, if you're in year four, you don't necessarily have to do what you're doing. Maybe choose life. And the best thing for you and your partner is not what you're currently doing. I think that's an important thing, whether it's a traumatic situation or if you're just in an unhealthy relationship and you're repeating the same negative cycles. And there's a lot that can weigh our decisions. If you have kids, you have a career, you're like, we have to make this work. And sometimes the right answer is maybe to let go of that situation and to navigate that in the best way possible is certainly tricky, but just bringing that to your awareness is important. So I think there's a lot of value in that, Dan, and I appreciate you coming on and sharing some of your story. Before we wrap up, can you tell our listeners where they can learn more about your book, find it online, and if there's anything you want to leave them with, and then we'll say goodbye.
Your summary just now I thought was particularly good. I mean, I think it's clear to me that this conversation and these concepts is just the beginning of the thought process for people who are listening to this, or for people who might have this come up at some point in their lives. It's just a really complicated and really interesting human problem. And I think you've done a very good job of sort of asking questions and summarizing points to really, really grab the nub of it. I think what you said is very on point. With respect to where to find the book, Amazon is the easiest way to do it. Just go to, you know, Google The Thin Ledge. That's THINLEDGE. I don't even think you need to put Shapiro into that, but if you put in The Thin Ledge Shapiro in an Amazon search, you'll go right to the book. It's an Amazon bestseller. It's not hard to find. I have a website, which is danielpshapiro.com, but there's no need to do that. There is a way to buy the book on the website, but you don't. The easiest thing to do is to go to Amazon, and I hope people do buy it. Because, and if there was a way to get it without buying it, that'd be even better, because this isn't about the finances of it. But I do want the book to get traction. I would like people to read it, because I do think one of the benefits of having gone through this grinder is that I can relate some things to other people, and maybe it'll help.
Well, I think that is an important thing that you're able to offer, having gone through all that. And I do appreciate you coming on the show today and sharing and putting this book out there. So we'll have the links in the show notes to find your book and on our website at idopodcast.com. And thanks so much for coming on, Dan.
Thank you so much.
As always, thank you guys so much for tuning into today's episode. As always, all the links to the guest, as well as any of their recommendations, will be in the show notes page. You can find the link to that in the episode description or by going to idopodcast.com. Click on the podcast tab up at the top and you will have access to all the episodes that we've ever done. There are over 300 of them. And while you're on our website, if you haven't checked out our free 14-day happy couple challenge, we really hope you do. It's a free email challenge that we send to you. It's 14 days of fun, easy, doable challenges to help strengthen and improve your relationship. And if you're looking for something that provides a little more help with working on your relationship, whether it's improving intimacy or communication with your partner, or just bringing the spark back, we would love for you guys to check out our online course, Spark My Relationship. We're offering $100 off to all of our listeners if you go to sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock. We've worked with over 15 psychologists and therapists to create the real life tools and strategies that they are teaching their clients. So we wanted to give them to you. It's a self-paced online course that can be done in as little as a month or up to 3 months. You can really decide how much or how little you want to do with your partner, or maybe just yourself. So we hope you guys check that out. It's sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock. Have a great day.
You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.